Welcome to the OMA Talks podcast. I'm your host, David Petro. In this podcast, we typically feature speakers from the most recent OMA conference. More recently, we've been hearing from speakers from the upcoming OMA conference. This is our last episode in this season. And what we typically do here is hear from all the guests one more time. And this year, we asked everyone what advice they would give a new teacher who's having difficulty engaging their math students. We've heard a lot of ideas, and some people gave more than one. But in many cases, there were some common themes. That being said, let's hear from our first set of speakers talking about the idea of showing that you care about your students. We'll hear from Chad Harris, Marion Small, and then Howie Waugh.
So I would stress the importance of bringing quality, intentional small group instruction into a program or an environment. From my background and having all the experience I've had with intentional small group tier two and tier three support, I find it is super important for three reasons. One, it really helps improve a teacher's relationship with their students. It gives you time to sit down with three or four students and just talk through problems, which allows them to really feel heard and really, from my experience, students really value that. It also allows you to help close gaps and address misconceptions with students and help them understand what's going on. And from, again, my experience, that if they understand it, they really get excited about it and want to do more of it because they understand it. We all like that. And also, it really, bringing that into a program really creates an inclusive environment, and it really helps solidify the concept that mistakes are good. Like, we talk about mistakes and growth mindset, and we put up that poster that says, hey, make mistakes are great. But then throughout the year, we don't always take the time to make sure they see mistakes and they make sure they hear, you know, if a student puts up their hand and gives you the wrong answer, do we sit with that one or do we bring the right answer in as the one we want to focus on? So having that small group really allows students to make those mistakes and to take those risks and to allow that environment to genuinely be about mistakes and about learning versus, you know, talking about it. So I think small group instruction is definitely something that I would try and bring in.
It feels to me when I watch children that all the children really want from us is A, to see that we care about them, and B, to see that we're interested in what they have to say. So I feel that if you really want to engage students, it's not like you find a context that you think every kid will love, or it's not like you turn it into a game. What it is, it's I want to hear what you have to say. So I believe our goal to engage students is to put something out there that gives them the opportunity to tell us how they think about things. And we have to very visibly listen to what they have to say and help them see that we really are listening by responding to what they do say. So I feel engagement is about not doing something artificial to make something happen, but it's more about showing kids, I'm really curious about your approach to anything, whether it's a problem, whether it's a situation, whether it's just what do you want to talk to me about. But I think engagement is about having kids see, I want to hear you.
So I think that students just want to know that you care about them as a person. So every day, I have students put their name tent on their desk. So they write their name on it, and they write where they're from, like what city they're from, and what's a hobby that they like. So a couple minutes before class, I just go around the room and just have some conversations with a couple tables every day, you know, and like, for example, some people would say like they like drawing. So I'm like, hey, what have you been drawing lately? Or like if they wrote reading, it's like, hey, what book have you read? What are you reading so far? So it's not really exactly like I can give you so many engaging activities, but I would just say that students want to know that you care about them as a person.
That was Chad Harris, Marion Small, and Howie Waugh. Next up, we'll hear from Alex Lawson, Ron Lancaster, and Stacey Jacobs, who talk about showing students that you want to know about them, among other things.
I think the main thing is if you have a student who is struggling, it's understanding where that issue lies, like how far back it is it that they have a solid foundation. So for example, if students are struggling with multiplication that we've just been working on, what I actually need to know is, can they in fact add without counting? I'd be sliding back farther to look out where is it solid, what do they know, so that then I can build on. But if they're struggling, it's because something is missing, and I want to know what, you know, again, where is it solid, so that I can start at that point to build them up. Because it doesn't matter what I, you know, hope they might do. If they don't understand it, if they're struggling, building on, you know, like a weak foundation is not going to get them where they need to go. I get a house of cards is what I was thinking of. Anyway, so that's what I'd want to know. What do they know?
I have to say that the comments that I'm going to make here really are for all teachers, because it takes a lifetime to get good at this. What worked last year doesn't necessarily work this year. So the first thing I would say, this sounds a little bit counterintuitive, but if you think that you're not engaging students, that things are not going well, maybe the opposite is true. So what a good thing to do is on a regular basis, take anonymous surveys of your students. Ask them, you know, how are things going? What would they like more of? What would they like less of? And you'll get feedback from your students, and you may actually discover that the students are quite happy, that they are engaged. Engagement can look different, you know, from different students. Some students are just more quiet, and you wouldn't maybe know that they're actually really engaged intellectually by what you're doing. The other thing that's useful as well is to, you know, go on a field trip or, you know, attend a game at school and be around a place where there are parents and other teachers, because you may actually have some, you know, random conversations, maybe with a parent. And the parent says, oh, you know, my daughter really loves your course, or I heard about this thing you did in class. And you might start to realize that they're actually talking about your class. They're enjoying it. They're engaged. So that's always a good thing to do, and it helps you make some decisions whether the students are engaged or not. So let's assume that they're not engaged. You can tell. You know, maybe it's the behavior, maybe it's how they're doing in the course, but you know, you feel you have some evidence that they're just not engaged. So what are you going to do? Well, I have a couple immediate suggestions for you. The first one is this. If you find that you ask your students a question in class, and there's complete and utter silence, nobody's saying anything, well, the problem is asking the question that way. It's much better to do what's called a think, pair, share. So you ask your question, you tell students to think about it for a few moments, and then pair up with somebody and then share all the things that have been discussed. So the students share that with the class. Now, you can't go around to every pair of students and have them report on what they spoke about. So you pick some students and you have them talk about it. It's a much safer environment for students to do this in. And for the students that you didn't have share, you know, what they talked about, get them to do it next time so that you spread it around. So the think, pair, share, wonderful way of getting things, getting answers from students. Now, there is a problem with the think, pair, share, but it's a good problem. You may find that the conversations are so rich and so loud that it's actually hard to get your class back. So what you really need to do is to have some way for your students to know when you're starting. Like when you start your class, you know, at the beginning of the class, or if you're stopping a think, pair, share, there's something you do so that students know that you're resuming the lesson. It might be a bell. It might be a sound. You might flick the lights. There's something that you do so that students know. My second suggestion is to go visit some other classes. And this is really important because your colleagues are doing other things perhaps than you, and you'll get some ideas. I mean, I've had experiences where I've had a class where I don't feel things are going well. I don't feel kids are engaged. And I go to another class to observe, and I see some of the same students in that class completely engaged. Like, what's going on here? Like, what is that teacher doing that I'm not doing? Like, how is this working? Now, I know there's a lot of variables here. It might be that, you know, your class is after lunch or it's the first class in the morning. There could be, you know, a variety of things going on here. But still, there's really good things to learn from your colleagues. And speaking of your colleagues, really make an effort to get to know the teachers that you work with and in other departments as well. And find a teacher or two that you can trust and sit down with them and just say, you know, I don't feel things are going very well in this class of mine. Do you have any suggestions? Or could you even just come and watch my class for a short while and maybe see if you can give me some suggestions on what I could do? Your colleagues can be a really good source of ideas for you. So that's a couple ideas that you can do immediately.
I would say take them outside to experience math and nature. Where do we see numbers in our neighborhood? What symmetry can we find in nature? Measuring angles or shadows that we find on trees. I would say play games with your students. When students are really struggling with a concept, take the paper and pencil away, use manipulatives, and use games that are hands-on and low stakes. Often when students struggle, it's their mindset that we have to shift. And once we can help them with that, the learning flows. Bring in storybooks, make math real and tangible for your students. And above all, build a safe and supportive learning community. Bring in non-permanent, like whiteboard writing surfaces. There's something when it's non-permanent, students just feel that risk, much more able to take risks when it comes to their learning. Collaboration is key. I can't tell you how many of my student teachers that I work with share with me how much they enjoy working in small groups and collaborating when it comes to math and how much they learn. Provide relevant feedback often to your students, not just good work, but what was amazing about their thinking, what strategies were they using. Be nurturing and encouraging. So I always think back to Toni Morrison and her quote, which is, "Do your eyes light up when a child walks in the room?" Think of your body language and your facial expressions, all the nonverbal cues that you as a teacher may be, you know, passing off, not even recognizing, because those are what have really long and lasting impacts on our students.
That was Alex Lawson, Ron Lancaster, and Stacey Jacobs. Up next, we hear from Chris Lisniak, Kathy Marks-Crepan, and Pam Seda with advice about valuing what students think.
So, if you're struggling to engage students in math class, first of all, you're not alone. We all go through those phases. Even experienced teachers have days or weeks or units or whatever that aren't as engaging or exciting, and they're all trying to find ways to bring kids back in. But my quick advice for folks is that we have to give students a chance to have an opinion and make an argument. Because that's what really, really, really draws people in. It's why we scroll through TikToks and other social media postings where people say all kinds of crazy things, because we are drawn to things where there's some kind of opinion and personalization to it, something that you want to argue about. You can't help draw it in. So the more we can have students have a chance to have an opinion and argue in math class, the more they're going to get engaged.
I guess one piece of advice I would give, because a lot of times you say, well, it's the task. You got to come up with a better task. And that might be true. I don't deny that. But I think the other piece that we often overlook is the fact that maybe it's the context, that we really need to create a context in which students feel comfortable engaging in mathematical discourse, engaging in tasks. And there may be some students that feel overwhelmed, they feel stressed, they're not sure of their thinking. And we need to ensure that the environment where the learning is taking place really supports students and values mistakes and normalizes hesitation and not knowing as part of that learning journey. And the other piece of advice I would give is, you know, people engage in different ways and people show and students show their engagement in different ways. And just because a student is quiet and might not be always raising their hand or speaking out or directing the conversation does not mean that they are not fully engaged. So we need to reach out to those students and find out what ways it worked for them in terms of reaching out to them and allowing them to have voice and allowing them to share their thinking in maybe different ways from what other students might feel comfortable doing.
Yeah, so the first advice I would give to a teacher, just in general, a new teacher, is understanding that teaching is very complex and you need to cut yourself some slack. It's going to take a while to learn how to do it well. And even though all the world expects you to do it right and correctly and awesomely that first year, it probably is not going to be, and that's okay. So speaking specifically to students that struggle, I think it's important to really value the thinking of students and be curious and resist the urge to automatically fix the thinking of students. I can't tell you how many times, even as a veteran teacher, I have been tempted to jump in quickly and got ready to do that, to fix what I felt was erroneous thinking, only to find out that there was really brilliance behind it. I remember a time that I was doing a number talk and we were talking about the different ways of, I don't remember, forming a certain combination of numbers. And when I asked the student, what does this number make you think about? He was like, my name. And I thought he was so out in left field. But when I listened to him, he talked about his name and how many letters it had in it and how the number of letters that are in his name connected to the number that we were looking at and making different combinations of. And I realized if I had just interrupted him when he talked about his name and not listened to his thinking, I would have missed out on a wonderful learning opportunity for him and me as well. And I probably would have shut him down. So that's what I would say is be curious and listen for students' brilliance. Look for opportunities for students to show their brilliance.
That was Chris Lesniak, Kathy Marks-Kirpan, and Pam Seda. And we'll continue to hear from our speakers about the advice they would give a younger teacher who's struggling to engage their students. Up next, we're going to hear from Pam Harris and Vanessa Vicaria, who want us to value what kids do.
If I have a new teacher and they're struggling to engage their students in math class, probably the first thing, and this might sound funny since I'm a math educator, maybe it's two things. One, I would really try to dive into yourself, into math being figure outable. Get better at what that means. Do more tasks with students that are figure outable. Those students who have been typically good at math might actually balk a little bit. They're like, wait, this doesn't feel like math. You're just supposed to tell me what to do. But those students who have struggled, who have typically not been engaged, they are the ones that are going to say, huh, this is different than math classes that I've been in before. All you want me to do is think? All you want me to do is use what I know to solve the problems? Huh, well, I can do that. It's a great way to get students involved. Secondly, be a human with your students. And I'm talking to Canadians. You guys are better at this than maybe anybody else on the globe. Be the kind of teacher that has an interest in what your students are doing. Know what they're doing a little bit in their free time. What kinds of things are they interested in? Say their name in class. Be the kind of teacher that recognizes your students in the hall and knows a little bit about them and could actually carry on a personal conversation with your students. Even the little move, new teachers, of saying students' names. Make a point of learning names as soon as you can. And when you call on a student, you're calling on Steve, or you're calling on Andrew, or you're calling on Sephora. You're like, you are making a point to make sure that Lucinda hears her name in class. That could be maybe the first possible thing that you do that just brings a little humanity into class.
Okay, it's hard to pick just one thing, but I think my number one piece of advice is to ask questions. I think lack of engagement happens for so many different reasons. You know, sometimes a student isn't engaged because they're bored. A student isn't engaged because they're scared. A student isn't engaged because their old math trauma is surfacing. A student doesn't engage because they're confused, because they're shy, like because they're having a bad day, because something's going on, because they're distracted. There are so many reasons why. And I actually think we talk about student engagement in a very odd way for a group of people who want to be student-centered, right? It's like the way we talk about student motivation, as though one thing should be able to engage everyone. One thing should be able to motivate everyone. I think as teachers, and I know we already do this, but it's to remind ourselves that there are humans in front of us that all have different reasons for not being engaged in the task at hand. So I think one of the best things we can do is if we notice that a student isn't engaged in a way that we would like them to be, is to set our judgment aside, lean into that empathy and ask them, you know, what's up? Like, what's going on that you're not feeling like doing this thing? And to see what comes up for them and to respond accordingly. And I know it might seem like, but we have like 30 students. Like, how do we do that for every student? Remember, different students are engaged at different points. It's never like every single person isn't engaged. So take your time with it. And I think what you'll find is if you tap into what's not engaging a student for a particular task, that is likely to translate the next time they're not engaged. And you're going to remember that about that student. So I would say, to make it short, that was kind of long, sorry, ask a question as opposed to assuming and see what comes from that.
That was Pam Harris and Vanessa Vicaria. And our last speakers will be Ian Vandenberg, Jamie Mitchell, and once again, we'll hear from Ron Lancaster, who have advice about what we can do for ourselves as teachers that might help us engage students.
So being a new teacher and trying to engage your students in math class, I think is something that we all, as educators, have to find our path through. And I'm going to acknowledge as I try to give a little bit of advice here that I teach in a different context than many of you do. And so I can't really give you really good firsthand advice about how to tackle this kind of problem. And I think it is a really tricky one. I think that the most important thing that we can do as educators is to share our enthusiasm for the subject we teach, whether it's math or other subjects, with our students and allow that to help carry the conversation, to try to find ways of intriguing students with ideas, to try to make them curious. Easier said than done, I recognize. But I think this is a really important part of it. And I know that teaching at any level is a really hard profession, but it's so rewarding too. And so I know that getting through those first few years as a teacher is a challenging time, and it's a challenging thing to do, but keep persisting. Like with problem solving, we want to keep persisting and be patient and keep trying things. And you'll find, as professionals, you'll find the thing that resonates with that group of students that you have in front of you at any given time.
That's a big question. When I started, I would often ask myself, am I teaching the way I would want someone to be teaching my own children? And if the answer was no, then I would go back to the drawing board and do something different. As I've grown as a teacher, I've found tremendous value in, and it seems so simple, standing at my door and saying hello to every student that walks into the room every day. And as I've continued to grow, I've kind of morphed that strategy into, you know, my work with thinking classrooms. And I don't have a teacher desk in the classrooms that I teach in. I make a choice to get rid of that desk. And instead, every day I pull up a chair at a different student group at the start of class. And I will spend sometimes 1 minute, sometimes 5 minutes, just chatting with those groups of that group of students that I'm sitting with on that day. As I shuffle my cards or as I get my lesson ready, we'll just have a casual conversation. And every day I pick a different group of students to sit with. Right, you know, when I start this, when the kids are new to me, they don't know me yet, they look at me funny. It feels a little uncomfortable. But, you know, building those relationships with students every day continuously is so important. And it goes such a long way to getting students on board with doing math with us. You have to build trust. There is a lot of math trauma that students come to class with, a lot of bad experiences, a lot of bad memories of struggling in math class, and humanizing yourself as a teacher, I think is the most important piece of advice that I could give.
So here's some other ideas that are more long-term. So when I look at the math curriculum, oh my goodness, it's just such a mess. It is dry. It's not very inspiring. I mean, the first 20, 30 pages are really important because they go through all the processes and it talks about all the things that we need to do as a teacher. And then there's the content. And it's just like this list of topics with, you know, with all of these things. And it's just, oh my goodness, it's just awful to look at. It is not very inspiring. Well, it's our job to make that content come alive. That's what we're supposed to do. That's in our hands, is to make that stuff, you know, so strong that kids are engaged by it. Well, how do we do that? Well, I have three suggestions. The first one is start going to conferences. Make this just part of your professional activities. Go to the OEME conference every year. You know, go to the local chapter conferences. By the way, speaking of the OEME, it's sometimes a bit hard to go every year because of the cost and getting supplies and all of that. The good news is that the OEME is going to be a virtual conference every second year. So every second year, there's simply no reason to miss the conference. You will get all kinds of great ideas from people presenting ideas. You'll meet people outside of your school. You'll get a bigger professional learning community outside of your school. And if you happen to leave your school someday and go to another school, you still have this other community of people that you can call upon. Now, going to a conference is serious business because you just can't go and just be entertained. You need to actually go to sessions, think about where you could use these ideas. If you see somebody presenting on, you know, on a topic, and if you think, oh, wow, I could use this when I'm teaching quadratics, you need to file that. So you need to make sure that you've got some sort of file folder where you've got these ideas put in there, a spreadsheet, something. And you really need to be organized about this and really serious. Because, you know, after going to conferences for a number of years, if you don't have any organization to it, it's just all helter-skelter. And you're not going to remember any of this stuff. So you really want to build a wonderful portfolio so that 30 or 40 years from now, you just have just a tremendous amount of material that you can use to teach all sorts of topics. And really, this is true for, you know, experienced teachers as well, because this may be something that they don't do, and it's not too late to start to do that. So conferences is something to do. That's a long-term idea, but it's really important. The second idea is to use the journals for math associations. So the OEME publishes the Ontario Mathematics Gazette. And the NCTM publishes the Mathematics Teacher. These journals are just filled with great ideas for you to use in your classroom. I would take out a personal subscription to both associations. It's really important to support these organizations. And the material that's produced is really high quality. But again, you really have to take this seriously. Go through the journal every time it comes out and go through that journal. Look at all of the articles. There may be some that you look at and you think, I can't imagine how, you know, where I would ever use this. So, you know, that just kind of goes. But there'll be, you know, a bunch of things in there that you can look at and say, oh my goodness, that's perfect for teaching linear functions, you know, and so on. And so again, you'll file stuff like you do with the ideas that you get from conferences. So the journals will just provide you with a lifetime of material that you can use to engage students. That's what you really need here, is material that you can make it come alive for students. If I can just give you a quick example. In my third year of teaching at Oakville Trafalgar, I was teaching the calculus course. And I had one of my colleagues who gave me an article from the 1979 issue of the Mathematics Teacher, and was all about using soap bubbles to solve calculus problems. Can you imagine? I was just shocked by this. Couldn't believe it. And I used it that year. And you know something? I've used ideas from that article in every single year of my teaching. I've used it in my workshops for teachers and with students. This is over 45 years that I've used that one article. And I can say the same thing about a lot of other articles that I found as well. There's just lots of gold in both of these journals. And by the way, if you have a bit of extra money, something that you might want to consider doing at some point is joining a math association in England or Australia or New Zealand or Scotland or wherever. I've done this over the years, and it's really a great way of getting ideas that, you know, you generally maybe wouldn't see here in North America. So the journals, fantastic way for you to get ideas to make mathematics come alive. And your third source is social media. You just, these days, you have to use it. Blue Sky is new. Lots of teachers are excited about Blue Sky. You really need to get on Blue Sky and start to take a look at all of the great material that's being posted there. But it's the same thing. You need to look at the material that's being posted and start to file it. You can't just let all of these ideas, you know, because eventually on Blue Sky, there's going to be like 300 things you found. And if you haven't organized all of this, it's just all over the place. And the memories are going to start to fade of what you saw. So going to conferences, using journals, using social media like Blue Sky, these are long-term ideas, but there's something that I just feel you should do throughout your career. You know, just from your first year of teaching all the way through to the year that you retire. It's just, it's in your heart. It's just something that you do because you want to engage your students. You want to make this mathematics come alive. I hope these ideas have been useful for you. Take care. Bye-bye.
That was Ian Vanderberg, Jamie Mitchell, and Ron Lancaster. And that wraps up all of this season's speakers giving us advice on how to help a new teacher engage their students in math class. And that wraps up for this season 8 of OME Talks. We'll come back in September with a new set of guests, all of which will be speakers from the upcoming OME 2026 conference at Fanshawe College in London this spring. So stay tuned for that. And in the meantime, stay safe.